The epistle appointed to be read for this, the first Sunday of Advent, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, understand, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we came to believe. The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in debauchery and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, bewildered by the roaring of sea and waves, men fainting from fear, and for expectation of the things that are coming on the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a parable. "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now put forth their buds, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things coming to pass, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Thus, for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I draw your attention to some of the points in the bulletin, namely, that tomorrow we begin a novena to the Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Conception, and special prayers will be said here, of course, but I encourage you to also try to maintain this practice and start a novena to the Blessed Mother tomorrow. Wednesday, December the 8th, which will be the following week, not this week, but the following week, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and is a holy day of obligation. And masses in this church will be at 6 and 8 in the morning, 6 and 8 in the morning, and then again at 7 in the evening. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, may I read the first lines of today's epistle. Brethren, understand, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we began to believe. Today is the first day of Advent, and it should not be taken as just another day where those of us are simply going to observe it for the sake of observing it. Today we now have perhaps an expression which St. Paul might have used Instead of saying, now is the time to wake up, he might have said, this is your wake-up call. And we should pay close attention to what we have to do. We speak of many things from this point in our church, here, in here. We do not wish to give the impression, I do not wish to give the impression, that it is in the doing of certain things, the knowing how to do this and how to do this, that, and how to avoid this and how to avoid that. That's not what I am driving at. The thing that I'm driving at, the thing that we're driving at here as monks, is that whatever we do must be done for one thing in mind at all. And that is for the interior formation of our spiritual life, the interior formation, the interior development of our souls. That's all. There are some times when I might speak here and that I erroneously take things for granted. I have always said, though I don't always follow it, that you must never take anything for granted. But I still take things for granted. That's not right. Gone are the days, my beloved people, if I may give you a little similitude. Gone are the days when the high school algebra teacher can take for granted that the students in her classroom know the multiplication tables. That is now no longer a situation that we can rely upon. And so I must not take things for granted. Last week I spoke on the use of the little grains of wheat that are still here. And by the way, there's still some packages here. Come up here and use them up. Take them all, take them home, give them to the various children, and use them. And I notice there are some visitors in church today who are always welcome. You visitors, come up here and take your wheat and take it home with you and use it as you know how, or you will be told how. Yesterday, I was charged, in a nice way, of course, because everything I say, I'm charged about, in a nice way, of course. But that is that the use of the wheat that I proposed last week, in that for the sake of the newcomers, the little grains, I deny myself this, I accomplish that, I will not use profanity, I will not do this, that, and the other, and each time I will go and plant a grain of wheat. Each time I control my temper, I plant a grain of wheat, and so on. In a little container, perhaps you get them at the grocery stores, the little aluminum oven pans, put some soil in them and plant these little grains of wheat in these little containers. I was told, and I wish to explain myself, that it is possible, especially for the grown-ups, the children may not notice this quite so much, but the grown-ups might, because I do invite the grown-ups to get with it and take a package of grain of wheat home with you and you use it. That it might be that somebody in the family has more little sprouts coming up than other members of the family having little sprouts coming up. And it might be that certain member, this member of the family who has a whole bunch of sprouts coming up, might say to himself or herself, oh, look at this one. This one has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 6, 8, 10, 15, 20. Oh, that makes me a lot holier. I'm working harder. I'm getting more done. I am a cut above the rest of the members of my family. Get it into, let us all, beginning with me, when I say get it into your heads, I'm not pointing at you as such. I'm pointing at all of us. Get it into our heads that it could be, that it could well be, that in that pot of soil, come Christmas night, there might be just one sprout of wheat that I planted. That's the only grain that I planted. But nobody knows. Nobody knows the effort, the work, the faith, the intention, the torture that I had to go through to plant that one grain of wheat. As opposed to this good person over here, not accustomed to saying prayers before dinner and after dinner, will say prayers before and after dinner and consider it worthy, which it is, and consider it worthy of planting a grain of wheat. And it's very easy for that good person, saintly person. The saintly person may have more grains of wheat. It's possible. But that doesn't make that person more saintly than that one person who planted just one grain of wheat. Men, are you strong enough . Are you courageous enough? Are you big enough to walk up here after Mass and pick up a package of wheat? I challenge you. I won't be looking, but I challenge you to be strong enough to bring yourself, put one foot in front of the other. Men, 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 men. Come up here and pick up a package of wheat. And I speak particularly to the men, because it is in them that the whole tenor of the household is established. Yes, we know the mother. Of course, don't misunderstand me. I'm not undercutting the mother. I speak to the men. who have to do certain things in the family, things that require an enormous amount of faith and love. Love is what we have to go after. Men, when we use the word love, we somehow, through some kind of whatever, in our heads, we associate love or loving with effeminacy. Not so. Can we possibly put it into our heads, into our thick heads sometimes, that one act, one single solitary act, regardless, please, I'm underlining the word regardless, that one single solitary act, regardless of its unimportance, regardless of its unimportance, is more valuable, is more wonderful, is more significant than truckloads of, done out of pure love for God, out of pure love for God, than truckloads of gold. That's why I say our thick heads. Because if a truckload of gold was sitting over here waiting for me to take, and over here was a little act that I could do unseen by the eyes of the world. Over here is that little insignificant act of reparation, of love, of whatever. Over here is this. Over here is gold, a whole truckload. And then I am going to be asked, choose the one you want. That's why I say, men, it takes more courage, more strength, more stamina than you can imagine for you to come and get yourselves up here and pick up a package of wheat. We know very well the strength of the temptation. It started with Adam and Eve. All that the crazy devil offered these people was a stupid apple. Probably had wormholes in it. And for just that one little stupid apple, look what they gave up. And for that one stupid apple, you are still paying the debt just for that one little insignificant act on the part of those two people. It is time, my beloved people, for us to arouse ourselves from sleep and to do the things that are worthwhile. Let us keep our faith, which is based on love. To the degree that we love, to that degree do we believe. And of course, it works the other way too. To the degree that we believe, to that degree do we love. I know that. But there we must try that, or do that. We really don't have any choice, do we? Not because I took your choice away. I can't take choice away from anybody. Another thing that I wish to draw your attention to is the little Advent readings at the table. These Advent readings were prepared for this particular season. And you will notice that they're gradually building themselves up in a spirit of expectation of what is to come. Because here we are now living these 4 weeks, we are living that period in the history of mankind when man was waiting and waiting and waiting. My precious people, what a tragic sadness. They waited and they waited and they prayed and they called out. And when he came, nobody saw him. Why? Because they were waiting for the wrong thing. Just as we are waiting sometimes for the wrong thing. The only way that I will be able to see that which is in that little dirty stable is for me to see it not with the eyes of my mind, but with the eyes of my heart. That's the only way that I will be able to see him. And unless we return to that effort of trying to see him with the eyes of our heart, then there will be no hope for us if we do not return to that. So let us work for that, my beloved people. This is not a fairy tale that we're dealing with. The tendency today is to argue and to refute and to get intellectually nebulous and all that business and hoop-de-doo stuff. It sounds good, but when you boil it down, you ask yourself, now, what did he say? It's very simple. I'll tell it to you in just a few words. Just simply say 3 words, as a matter of fact. And if you can say those 3 words and mean them, I mean commit yourselves. Commit ourselves to those 3 words only. Then everything else is not necessary. What are those 3 words? Again, I yell at the men. I'm after the men this morning. Get on your knees in the privacy of your room. Shut the door Fall on your face. And say, I love you. If you do that, nothing else is important. Nothing else is worth talking about. And all the books that have ever been written suddenly become totally unimportant. I have said, I love you. That's all I want you to do. And when you, Christmas morning, if you have little cribs in your family circles, and most of you probably will, maybe some of the figures are broken or busted up or whatever, that doesn't matter. Put a little crib in the corner. Just look at what you are doing. From the littlest child to the oldest person in the house. When you pick up your little pot with some sprigs of grass, wheat in it, you might say to yourself, well, goodness gracious, this is stupid. This is silly. This is totally silly. I can't do a thing like that. I'm too intelligent. I've got several degrees. I've been to college. I've taught school. I am this, I am that. I'm a tremendous big person. I can't do something as stupid as that. To pick up a pot full of dirt and carry it in front of my children, in front of my wife, and bring it and put it in front of this crib. Men, people, children, you have never picked up anything more priceless than that little pot full of dirt in your lives. Did you hear me? When you have given something of such magnitude to God, it's not dirt, it is love that you have given. And nothing else matters. The clock says, I have to stop. So I have to stop. Remember three words. In the privacy of your room, in the privacy of your heart, I love.